Help our network grow by pledging to our Patreon. From now until the end of the year, we are asking our listeners to donate a minimum of $1. In order to keep the network alive, we need to hit 100 subscribers before the end. So help us keep the lights on by heading over to www.patreon.com/rainmandigital. Check out the podcast description of this episode for details.
That is kind of morbid. I think I need to rewrite that.
Yeah.
The end.
Before the end, we're all going to die. We live off of morsels that we purchase with the money you send us.
They have
all
this,
five of you.
They have this chained up. If we don't get to 100, they will not release us.
Yeah. We are writing to you via a transcriber because we are cuffed and bound. We cannot move. Please help us.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to them.
Superman.
I'm sorry.
You are here. The lesser of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
What is up, everybody? You're listening to DC on RMD, the Flash Edition on Rayman Digital. Remember, you can always find us on all those podcast providers. Go out there, rate, review, subscribe. They help us out a bunch. I am your host today, the one and only Bobby Dean. With me in the studio is Steve.
What's up?
Ryan is out trying to figure out how to get in a shipping crate back to Japan because that's where he wants to be more than anything. You know, because, I don't know, he wants to be Asian, I guess, now. Because he wants Asian tattoos and he really wants to go back to Japan. I don't know. He's in California slinging BBs at something else, you know, week two and he's already gone, or week three, whatever we're on. But we will take you through Flash this week. Today we'll be breaking down The Flash Season 6, Episode 3, There Will Be Blood, directed by Marcus Stokes, written by Lauren Cueto and Sterling Gates. So, I think the most interesting thing going on with a lot of the shows right now is The Crisis. Because they're filming it, and, you know, when we get into those things, it's so cool to like watch what's going on. And like I follow a lot of the cast on the show, and Stephen Amell is like fresh baby face shaved now for after his last Crisis day. And dude looked like he was going to fucking cry again.
Really?
Yeah. And so just talking about how wonderful this whole experience has been and everything else. And of course, the paparazzi's out in full force taking pictures of everybody doing their thing on Crisis. And one of the ones that has come out lately is basically a photo of all the stunt doubles. Looks like they're running through the rain towards something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who. Look, we got Martian Manhunter, Wild Dog, Flash, Dreamer, Spartan, Supergirl.
It's pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Alex is even in it, right?
Superman, you know, dude, the stunt doubles don't look like themselves. When I'm looking at these pictures, like, I was like, who is that? I'm like, that's Canary, but that's not what she actually looks like in real life, but whatever.
Yeah.
So they are getting there, and I think the finale or the crossover is actually done filming finally. And man, it's a, well, I can't wait for it.
So now, wait a minute. We got Monitor in there on the good guy side, I'm seeing, yeah?
No, I think that is Martian Manhunter.
Oh.
Because if you click through the pictures,
yeah,
you'll see the black guy Martian Manhunter, but he doesn't have the makeup on or anything. He's right next to Diggle, or Diggle stunt double.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, no, Diggle's holding the gun. I was like, does Diggle have the lantern ring?
Well, you know, to your point, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get to it. But I feel like the, I don't know how the other shows are faring in terms of their plot lines leading up to it. But all we have is this ever-present looming thing in the background.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, because of Flash disappearing, he's kind of the central focus of that looming problem coming. Are they kind of handling it that way on the other shows then too?
So Batwoman has never talked about it. Supergirl has never talked about it. Arrow is basically pivoted to only being about it. Oliver is moving through different Earths, collecting things that are needed for the crossover.
How is he?
Well, the Monitor's taking him.
Oh, so the Monitor shows up and tells Arrow he has to.
That was the season finale last year.
Okay.
The Monitor showed up. Oliver was sitting there with his baby, and he goes, "You made a promise to me. It's time." And the Monitor led him away. And so the Monitor's been leading him around, getting like dwarf star particles and different scientists and stuff. And you know, it's basically become like a Mission Impossible based storyline.
Right. So Oliver's his muscle.
Yeah. And when you run into these Earths, what they're doing is. And now it sounds like I'm doing an Arrow promo, but they're doing homages to the past.
Okay.
So they went to a different Earth, and Tommy Merlin was there, and he was the Dark Archer. And, you know, so you got to see things that they should have done way back when. Instead of Merlin being the Dark Archer, everybody wanted Tommy to be the Dark Archer. And so they're doing a lot of that stuff to where the mom and everybody's coming back and... You know, you're seeing them this week was Katana and China White were back. So they're going all out for that last season. It's a lot different than the other shows.
Okay.
So, and I almost feel like Flash should be doing this because what we're getting out of Flash right now is not very satisfying when it comes to the crisis, especially with it being such a big key storyline or lying point, as we will say, because that's what it's been up to this week.
Yeah, that and just the you know, the villain of the week situation thus far has certainly been lackluster, in my opinion, compared to some of the villains of the week in the past. You know, at least they're starting to reach more and more into more of the modern storylines and story arcs from recent runs. And they kind of have to, right? Because they've gone through the Rolodex at this point and pulled out all the good ones, I would say. Not to say there's not a couple of good ones here or there that are left, but I don't know how much I care about any of the other characters that they've been bringing in outside of what you're saying with the crisis. I have some high hopes for the character that the main baddie is shaping up to be.
It's a cool theory and concept, but it's just underperforming right now.
It is, and he's a good actor, and some of it feels really forced and cheesy. And I know he can pull off more than that, and so I question: is it because of the writing? Is it because of the directing? Is it a little bit of both, or is he overacting, thinking that that's part of the way he should be doing it because it's a superhero show, which is weird because he was on a superhero show. So there's something off to me about his portrayal and what's going on. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of that just weird feelings going on. And so... I was just informed through our interwebs that I'm a retard. And this week was actually called Dead Man Running. And it was Sarah Boyd directed it, written by Lauren Bennett and Thomas Pound. For some reason, I decided to put next week's episode in for the show notes. That is my fault, and I've now corrected myself. We will not cut that out because we are human here on DC on RMD.
We can go back in time and change things.
We could. I could just totally bury Alan the shit out of this and stop what I'm doing and just start over and go, welcome to DC on RMD Flash Edition on Rain Man Digital. But I won't. But they decide to tell the team this week, but it was lackluster, the thing. And just... I just have this whole weird feeling of why are you guys think that if we've done the Doctor Strange thing, that there is only one reality to where we win, and it's where I die. And everybody's like, well, we will change that. And I'd be like, so, Barry, what do you want to do before you fucking die?
Right.
Because, you know, again, the difference between a hero, and I'm sound like you're listening to last week, just like I just said next week's episode. There's a difference between a vigilante and a hero. A hero will always do what's right, even if it's self-sacrifice. A vigilante is always out for himself. Barry's acting like a vigilante.
Yeah, a little bit, especially when juxtaposed against Ollie and what he did for so many seasons there, probably still continues to do. What's interesting to me is if Oliver is going off and doing his Indiana Jones or Mission Impossible or whatever the hell.
Oh, Mission Impossible. We'll get to Indiana Jones in a minute.
Okay. why didn't he ever pick up the Aerophone and say, hey, Barry, this weird dude showed up and said, I have to go through space and time to collect these things. Do you know anything about this? You want to compare notes?
Because remember, Oliver sacrificed himself during the crossover last year to save Barry. This was the deal, and he's not supposed to be telling people. The only person that knows is Diggle. So, I mean, that's the thing. If you're doing what you need to do to save everybody. He gave up his wife and child to save everybody. Barry's not doing the same thing. And mm-hmm. it's not a...
So the roles have flipped.
It's not a lie. You know, we're not getting into that trope of the CW everybody lying. This is something that he's just doing. And, you know, that fits Oliver's character of, I can do this on my own. You know, and I guess those were the best seasons of Arrow, where when he was kind of doing it on his own and not worrying about the team drama.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And every time Barry's tried to do that, he's fucked things up. And now he's sharing with the team that, hey, we have this problem. And
so we get to that sharing point, and they're not doing any favors for this segregation of duties between Killer Frost and Caitlin Snow. Because her reaction to this just does nothing for me for the character. It actually doesn't make me like her at all. You know, going in and training and having her ice dagger and beating up the Ralph, the rape man. That sounds weird because Ralph's a character, and I don't know what else to call the dummy that they punch.
Right.
awkward thing there.
Yeah, I was like, wait, Ralph didn't rape
you? Yeah, and I'm just thinking of the stupid dummy that they put in front of women to hit in some of those classes. But like her reaction to that, and then like Barry confront her about it, and just listening to what is basically a teenage response.
A lot of even last week's episode with the art gallery, and then into this one, a lot of her behavior, it feels very teenage angsty. Whereas I feel in the past when Killer Frost showed up, to me anyways, it didn't feel like that. Maybe if I went back and rewatched, I might have a different opinion, but I feel that she was edgy, and she had attitude and spunk.
But it wasn't, I didn't have a birthday party.
Right. I don't know where that came from or why. And yeah, you did. You had all of them as Caitlin.
Yeah.
None of this makes sense.
No, the Killer Frost Caitlin Snow storyline is just like, it's not doing anything for me. And I just have a feeling we're going to end up with this weird Bruce Banner, Hulk, you know, Avengers Endgame type character coming out. Because how long, like, if you had split personality, and like, how long would you want that other personality out? Like, how would you feel, Steve, if you had two personalities and, like, you know, you were the narrator from Fight Club and you woke up and you didn't realize what the fuck happened, yet you were traveling all around the world as Tyler Durden?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're getting to at this point.
Well, at least Tyler Durden had purpose.
Yes. And the narrator actually saw himself as Tyler Durden. It wasn't he wasn't not completely aware of what was going on.
Yeah, well, and it took a long time of, you know, getting to that point in self-reflection, but he eventually got there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with these two, and it's unfortunate because there's times where I really enjoy Killer Frost on screen, but I enjoy Caitlin far more. And I know Ryan, if he was here, he would probably argue counterpoint to that. But
yeah, but he thinks with his dick.
He does, and I think with my heart.
Then I use my dick.
But Caitlin, at least in this situation in particular, would probably be capable of bringing something to the table to help solve the dilemma that they're in. And so long as Killer Frost is in the forefront, I'm not sure that she's going to provide much value in that regard.
Yeah. You know, because the other awkward, like, team-up thing that they were doing this week was placing Barry with Caitlin and Barry taking her around and running into that doctor. But
and it didn't have that same charm, you know, when we've seen him take people, when he took Ralph under his wing. There was charm there when he took, you know.
No, it feels like daddy taking daughter to work day and daughter's really fucking angsty.
Yeah, but when he did that with his real daughter and you know, showed her the ropes, she didn't act like this. And that was her real. She had her moments, but nothing like this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's an awkward thing. And I want it to be done as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So, guys want to help us out? Go to patreon.com/rainmandigital. We do 7 shows a week now for DC on itself. We need help. Go donate a minimum of $1 to us. Helps us out a lot. Keeps Steve nourished. Yeah, because he's famished.
Am I looking emaciated?
Yes.
Oh.
And so we're hoping to hit 100 subscribers by the end of the year to help Steve get some food in his belly, or I don't know, storage space for all these shows we keep doing. You can go ahead and find that in the podcast descriptions of this episode. Go click that link. Join up. $1. It's not going to hurt you. You love us, right? Do it for us. You love us more than we love Killer Frost right now. Hopefully. Or you hate us because you love Killer Frost. Either way, donate because you hate us. So I did like, it's so weird that I've kind of, since we've been doing the Batwoman show, and I've kind of come up with this formula of when the shows first start, they're always like singular focused on that main character. And only like later on do we get to these team situations to where everybody gets their own kind of hurrah. And normally they aren't the best, but I think Ralph in that character, it doesn't matter what he does. And I don't know why he just kind of intrigues me and everything that goes on. But the fact that his mom gets busted and that's the storyline for the week. And normally it has really nothing to do with a lot.
No, it didn't, but
it was entertaining.
It was entertaining. And again, looking back on when Ralph was brought in and how much all of us were like, oh man, none of us really were sure that we were ever going to like this dude. Mm-hmm. And we ended up falling in love with him.
Yeah.
And so anytime we get a glimpse in it, more of his backstory, and we get to see that warmth on screen, he's not the same character. He's grown so much and so much more than so many other characters on this series. In fact, I would argue across the entire Arrowverse, as it were.
Yeah, 100%. There's been very few characters that have grown as much as he has, you know, for somebody who's been covering all these shows.
Yeah, and so to see that with his mom and to feel so genuinely betrayed after finding out that his mom had lied to him, which sounds like most of his life, if not most of his adult life at the very least. And apparently she runs through dudes like Usain Bolt. Like, what the fuck, man? That woman just gets around, man. And then lies about it. Oh, well, you know, he died.
That's the easiest way, right?
Well, I guess. But at some point after like maybe 3...
My mom has killed 73 people.
Right.
Might be a murderer. I don't know what happens.
Yeah. Mr. Private Detective here, or a private investigator or whatever the hell, You wouldn't start stringing that together at some point.
Do you ever look at your own household and think, like, something's wrong? Like, why would my mom lie to me?
I do all the time. I walk around my house all the time and go, oh, man, that's fucked up. I got to fix that thing or what, you know.
Well, we're talking about your OCD, not the fact
but
that...
But that OCD plays into self-analysis and self-shame and self, you know, all those things. You know, you're your own worst judge, right?
Yeah.
But this guy was paid professionally by people to go investigate things.
And now, maybe he's just he's about the money, and nobody paid him to look into his mom, so he's like, whatever.
Yeah, I guess. But man, when it finally hit, you could feel the pain and anguish in his acting, right?
Yeah.
Like, he did such a phenomenal job, and I would say that was, for me, and at least, it was one of the highlights of the episode, was just seeing the actor, I forget his real name, but he continues to just be the beacon of hope for me. I
yeah,
love
like
him.
If we're doing spinoffs, let's get a Ralph spinoff.
Yeah, I or at least a webisode or two.
Like, yeah, just let him go do PI stuff and just, you know, try to steal flash drives from underneath doors. Because honestly, that shit just made me laugh. I couldn't. We need $4,000, and then like Cecile's like, well, we can do this, and I was like, oh shit, that's probably a good way to use this power. Like, why don't you use that power to fucking make money and gamble? Because you can read those guys' bluffs.
Yeah, no shit. That seems like a huge waste of. Well, I mean, she is supposed to be, you know, on the of the legal system, or at least the justice system.
But a legal system doesn't mean you can't use the best of your abilities. Because again, if you're a card shark and you're good at mathematics, you can figure out the odds and do all that other stuff. If I have the ability to read minds, I'm thinking that's the same talent. I'm not really cheating.
I don't know if that math
is that a gray area.
I don't even know if that math works. But I mean, I see
I
what you're saying.
Draw. And I know I have 8 cards that could possibly make me win this hand. I am going to bet. I can read your mind. I am going to bet.
Okay.
I'm going to lose a couple hands here and there, and I'm going to fucking clean you out. I could have let you eat those Oreos all night long.
I mean,
did you just get it?
Paid this man his money. Yeah, I get it.
By the way, if you've never seen Rounders, probably one of the best movies ever.
It's
very
it's
underrated.
It's up there. Yeah, I guess I would maybe. It's one of those powers that is generally probably one of the better powers you could ask for, is the ability to read minds because of what you could do with it.
Well,
but.
Yeah, just think about it in general. Like, this whole time we were like, well, we don't want this bitch in our head. And then, like, if we had it ourselves, we'd be like, oh, all right.
Or, you know, just it sucks that she's married to a cop, because a lesser man would just been like, hey, so why don't we use your powers for, you know, something that could make us more financially stable, or
just going like straight in. Yeah.
Yeah. Straight to Vegas.
We're going to run this hustle here and make this work. We're going to get in that high rollers game, and we're just going to make it look legit. And what can anybody say? I just had a good run. And again, if you do it right and you lose a couple of hands here and there and you just cash in at the end, you go find one of those like $1,000, like, you know, small games where, you know, tournament style, win a couple of those, come in first, second, third, you know, just getting the money. You don't have to win. World Series of Poker, that shit. I'd be rich. Be like, where did this person come from? She was the DA. Like, she's on a hell of a run. We have no poker knowledge of her ever, you know.
Oh.
You know, but I know when they're bluffing. So.
Generally speaking, I would also have preferred that story arc over what we got this episode besides the Dibney part.
Oh, I think the exact quote was, where the fuck does everybody get all this dark matter from?
Oh, when I text you?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, first of all, it feels like every other episode, some new facility enters our ecosystem here, our landscape of science tech companies that we haven't heard of. And somehow they're sitting on the king's ransom of dark matter. Where did all this come from? And how are people just gathering it and stowing it away for a rainy day? And why?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I had the same question, because it's just like, you know, I think it was last season, the season before, where we realized that we can make other, like, metas can be made otherwise, you know, with dark matter, not just, you know, from the particle acceleration or, you know, accelerator explosion, which, by the way, we're 5 seasons in and they still haven't fixed Star Labs.
No, but it's fixed up enough that they can have a goddamn rave in it.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense. Raves end up having old, decrepit, abandoned buildings.
Yes, warehouse parties galore. But,
yes.
I mean, are you kidding me? Of all the places that you could host that birthday party, you don't bring them to Flash Lair.
Yeah.
Like, I just had to shake my head at that one.
But the, you know, that dark matter thing was just a weird, like, it coming out of nowhere type thing. And, you know, it's so weird that these type of storylines are distracting from setting up the big bad, or, you know, he's involved in it, but he's not like center stage yet.
He's not, and one is distracting for the core of the crossover, and like you said, it's distracting to the core of the baddie. He legitimately served damn near no purpose other than letting the doctor know that he could control him, but he still doesn't understand what that means, right?
Yeah.
He just saw himself mirror image controlling this person, and then the only saving grace to that subplot of this meta of the week was seeing his ass explode all over that room.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. I appreciated that. Although all the jizz goo that got in Caitlin's hair, I immediately was like looking at Nicole like, well, that's a wig that they have to throw in the trash now because you're not getting that out.
You're gonna come with a new hairstyle next week.
Yeah. Well, like 2 scenes later she had a new wig, but
or they just filmed out of order.
Yeah, they could have filmed out of order. That's a good point.
Guys, can we finish up our scenes before we jizz in the wig?
Dude, it went everywhere. That guy blew a massive load.
All right, are we sure the jizz scene is good? We checked the film? All right, we're going to jizz in our wig. Action. Indiana Wells.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I almost feel like they're making fun of themselves at some point.
This may have been the one that. Well, I don't want to say that. I was going to say this may have been the one that junked the well shark, but I think that may have happened when we saw the three wells, and then there was that cybernautic.
You mean trash can wells?
Yes, trash can wells.
The one that looked like yes. But just the fact that Cisco walks up and starts, you know, be like, oh, we go through this dance all the time.
Right. It was kind
of, and it's
wink,
just
wink.
Like looking at us as like Mike quit watching Flash. And I explained to him what was going on in this episode. He's like, I haven't watched in 3 seasons and they're still doing the same shit.
Yeah.
And like, we know a Wells is going to show up.
We knew it.
And we finally get him this week. What the funny thing is, the first thing I was thinking is, I hate him. And then I'm like doing mental recaps of every Wells we've ever run into at like this. And I'm like, we hate them. And then Sherlock turned out to be a good dude, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's like, all right, well, I'm just going to figure out what this is. You know, he's running around with his man purse and, you know,
and
looking for something.
That 10 cent arm prop that he had on.
But it just like, but instinctively I was just like, oh my God, I hate this Wells. And I'm like, I've hated every Wells at first.
Except for the first Wells.
Yeah. Well, because
he wasn't Wells.
He wasn't Wells.
I hope they figure out a way to make me, like you said, I'm sure we will like him at some point. It'd be interesting to go back season over season and catalog what episode Wells showed up in relative to what episode we actually determine that we like him. I bet you there's a real formula there that you could map over time across 6 seasons now.
It usually is. Like, yes, there's always something. The shows are very formula based like that, to where you think this is the big bad twist, you know, twist. You think this is this twist, you know, and we know exactly, you know, we have an idea of when things are going to show up, when things are going to heat up. We know what's going to happen here, you know, during crossovers and all that. And so I'm sure Wells is definitely in that same equation of,
oh yeah,
you know, when
has to be. But so far, I mean, it was funny that his ass got tased.
Yeah, I'll do it again. But just like watching the Cisco interaction with him, just thinking that, the, you know, don't worry, we'll be best friends. And then, yeah, that didn't work out too well for you. But we'll let that play out. But I think the key point for me was they almost look like they were making fun of themselves with the Wells, you know.
And you know,
paradox,
sure,
I guess.
Right. And I'm sure it will play into the overarching season. It always does.
Or the crossover.
Right.
What was he wearing in the crossover? Hold on. I'll look it up.
I forget the name of the character. It is a character.
Yeah. Because he's in a costume.
In a costume. Kind of looks like Vision from the Marvel Cinematic Universe-ish. Same colors, if I remember correctly. It would have been nice, though, six seasons in, if they would have flipped the script and not done that, not followed that particular formula element, or, I don't know, maybe several formula elements, change it up a little bit. I think it's easier, obviously, to follow that that formula year over year. It works. It's tried and true, I guess. It's tried and true for them in the writer's room, at the very least.
There's a sign above the wall that says episode 4. We have to bring in Wells.
Exactly. It's already mapped out in a slide deck somewhere, and they just got to follow it. They have a process. They clearly have a process. I just wish that they, at this point, not with just this show, but even with Arrow, I would argue, break it up a little bit. And maybe self-reflect and say, maybe we don't need 20-something episodes. Maybe dial it back a little bit.
As part of the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover, not only will Tom Cavanaugh be playing two characters, we heard here he'll be playing Pariah as part of the crossover.
Pariah
is very much integral to the releasing of the Anti-Monitor, who is the bad guy. Tom will play such a pivotal character, it's just going to tear your guts apart and it'll make you cry.
It will tear my guts apart.
The first half of Flash Season 6 will lead up to a very big twist at the end of Bloodwork, which then will launch into Crisis. So he's playing a bad guy.
That released the monitor.
The Anti-Monitor.
Sorry, Anti-Monitor.
So, I mean, it's a good twist on what they do, because this is Pariah as a scientist in DC Comics. He first appeared in Crisis Infinite Earths. So, you know, it fits the Wells character. I wonder if he will be a Wells. I assume you won't have that face unless you're a Wells or Reverse Flash. But we'll see how that plays out. But
because I wonder if is our Indiana Wells the Pariah, or is it just,
and he's looking for something to release the Anti-Monitor?
Yeah,
because then it would tie the Flash into Crisis more.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Barry realizes, oh, fuck, we released the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. That would all make sense.
I just think that with 22 episodes, that if they would have focused these first 6 or 7 on just the Crisis and then come back for like the last 13 with the big bad, it would have made for a tighter season.
Yeah, it absolutely would. And again, I hate to sound like we're ragging on it. We've said this before. I don't think 22, 23 episodes is warranted at this point. Maybe in the first season or two, maybe. I think
it's an old way of doing business.
It is. But with so many shows in their catalog at this point, if they were able to tighten it up, I mean, even in the comic book world, right? You 12 issues, maybe 13 if you have an annual, that formula works. And I would love to see them, and it's working over on DCU. 11, 12, maybe 13 episodes, real tight, real strong. And sure, I'm sure advertising money plays a role in this, right? Or just the season schedules, as it were.
Yeah.
But if you staggered out the God knows how many shows they have, plus how many more they have on the way.
What? Do you want me to go through them?
Yeah, lay them out.
So we have Supergirl. We have Batwoman. We have Flash. We have Arrow. We have Legends of Tomorrow. We have coming up the Canaries. We have what else is coming? Stargirl.
Mm-hmm. So there's enough there.
Did I name Supergirl?
You did. That was the first one.
Okay.
There's enough there, particularly. You know what?
Say, and if you want to go to the other comic contents, you have Nancy Drew. You have Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
You have Josie and the Pussycats coming.
Oh, dear. So there's way more than enough content there that they could have easily.
Mike's walking fart candles into the studio. Yeah,
they could have Gantt charted that over time and just had overlapping. Fuck what the networks do or have done in the past in terms of network seasons.
Network television is failing. Me and Mike have this conversation all the time. That,
change it.
People are moving more towards the streaming services, and there's a reason why television shows aren't there anymore. Big Bang will probably be the last like sitcom that will get like huge ratings like it did, because it's just everybody's afraid to take risk or do something different.
Yeah, something different. Stagger them out, stair step them over time.
Because there are no seasons anymore. It's not like it used to be. It was like you have 20 episodes here. There's some breaks in the middle. And then all summer what we'll do is we'll just replay your episodes.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's a broken business model.
It definitely is. And they'll have to fix it sooner or later. But
oh, Black Lightning.
Black Lightning. Black Lightning.
Forgot that one.
Yeah. Because it's the one I don't watch.
I thought you and Mike were all about that one.
We were, but what happens is like we get busy, and then it's just like, well, we have too many shows.
Mm.
We stopped after like 5 episodes. But
I would kill for them to do a Superman spinoff, but we know it's not going to happen.
No, it's a very female-based superhero lineups coming in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, well, we're going to hit a quick break, and when we get back, we will give our final thoughts.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
He's apparently
the fabric of society, so long as they and their weird way of doing sex is legitimized. That's what they want.
Their weird way of having sex or doing sex. I mean, gay folk, they're not aliens. They're not from Trisomy 21. They're human beings. They have sex the same way we do. They don't mind meld in order to fuck.
Now then,
they don't place their fingertips together and they're orgasming. The way these, I mean, Thomas.
Jesus, he's in the studio.
Thomas, I mean, the way the gays sign those leases for the latest Kia excursion. I mean, it's just, it's madness. The way they do those leases and buy those homes. And
you mean with the signature the same way everyone else does?
Their credit ratings are just exuberantly high for people.
From a lack of divorce?
It's true. I mean, they live a better life. They have more disposable income than the rest of us. But good golly, they're going to ruin society. If anything, we can learn a little bit about economics and the life savings from the gay community.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
I'm
already helping a bunch of idiot do-gooders. Sorry, I'm up to my fuzzy hood and teamwork.
So, do you love with what we do? Do you love our shows? Do you? Do you? Do you have friends? Do you have no friends? Do you have a lot of, like, followers? Share our links with them for us. Whether you listen on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. Just remember to share those links on every episode. It helps us out. Helps us climb those podcasting charts. It's easy. Just hit the share button. Do it for us. All right. Final thoughts on this one. I'm going to go first. I think last week I gave it a 30. If I remember right. Which would probably be the all-time lowest score I've ever given anything in my life. Because I'm usually a... try to see the silver lining in things and understand what I'm watching. But with this show, there's a certain expectation. And even though that there were parts this week that I enjoyed, there were also parts that I just thought were really angsty and not needed. The Ralph part was good. As much as I think I hate Indiana Wells, the interaction between Cisco and him are always good. You know, the characters have on-screen chemistry. Barry finally kind of coming truthful with everybody so soon was nice. But I would only give this a 50. Because half of it was there, half of it wasn't. You have such an intriguing good, big, bad that's different. I know we kind of went on a rant a little bit before the break about this, but give him his just due. Put him on after the crossover because he's not getting it now. And I almost feel bad for the character, the actor, you know, working his ass off out there, but just being distracted by some of the other shit that's going on. So, 50 for me.
Well, you're going to be much kinder than I am. I can't go any higher than 35 on this one.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a struggle for me all the way through this episode. And with the only highlight was the Ralph story arc or plot line rather. And it just, I'm hanging in there, guys. I'm hanging in there. I want to see this all come to a head with Crisis. But, there's times where it just feels like they're softballing it in. And this is not what got me excited. And when we started doing this show in particular, you know how hard on I was about King Shark.
Yeah.
And so looking back on what we got in those seasons, I want that feeling again. And not everything can always be amazing or always have that same feeling. And, you know, once you have those highs in your life, you always want to try to go back and relive them.
Chase the dragon.
Yeah, you're chasing the dragon. But
we know nothing about drugs.
No, but Angelina Jolie does. I want that King Shark feeling again. I want that Gorilla Grodd when you and I were so excited about Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, Gorilla City is one of the best storylines in Flash. King Shark. But again, I'm sorry for interrupting your thoughts, but they blow their wad so much on major characters instead of letting them like just be.
Right.
And so, and you know, you're right. That's what we want. We want that excitement of what's going to happen. And it's just very formula right now.
It is. And if they could have spread out those really well-known villains or arch nemesis that we all know, if they would have sprinkled them out a little bit more, I feel like they're really scraping the barrel on some of this stuff. And so it's really hard for me to give a higher score right now. I hope to be proven wrong next week or the week following as we get closer to Crisis, but not on this one.
Okay. All right, well, so it was a 50 for me, a 35 for Steve. That's an aggregate of, what, 45?
I'm not math's good.
Yeah, I know. I know math good, Grodd. And I think I'm way off because you said 35 and I said 50. So it would be like, whatever. Not even going to do it anymore. My quick math was off the first time. But that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Flash Edition. Remember, you can catch all past and future episodes, DCOnRMD.com. Go follow us on those Twitter machines, those Facebook thingies, and Instagrammers. And add Ryan. He'll do nude Snapchats. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. He probably does. He's weird. But we'll see you next week.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.